Now we're looking, my friends, at this issue of being able to praise in tribulation now that the wrath of God has been removed and placed upon himself for all who trust in Christ. But here's the rub. Some people have a real difficulty with the idea of praising for trouble, in the midst of trouble, in trouble, for trouble, actually. That's the Greek. It's not in the midst of trouble, but for trouble. So let's look at it. Colin Cook here and how it happens. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast on the grace of God, the good news of about our Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and all the aid that the kingdom of God has brought to us, which we receive by faith. So we train our faith in how it happens. Now then, my friend, we're pulling from Romans 5, verse 3 and 4 and 5. Not only that, he says, but we glory, that is, we exalt, that is, we congratulate ourselves in troubles. What a thing to say, knowing that trouble produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Well, look, it's not only that God is for us that leads us to the faith art of praise in all things. It's also that since God is for us, nothing can be against us. That's a real key part of this issue. You remember what Jesus said? In the world you will have trouble, but take courage. The victory is mine. I have conquered the world. That's the New English Bible translation of John 16:33. So, for this reason, Paul seems almost beside himself, you know, when he says, with all this in mind, what are we to say? If God is on our side, who is against us? For I am convinced that nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. No half measures here, right? We give thanks for everything and in all things. You remember I mentioned that in Ephesians 5:20 and 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Not only because God is present in his love and grace, but also, now listen, because that love through Christ has won for us, won our battle. See, this thing about the victory of Christ over the forces of evil is fundamental to us. The cross of Christ is not only Jesus atoning for our sins, not only by his resurrection accounting us righteous in his resurrection, but also gaining victory over Satan. Now, this gets a little sort of kooky and strange, it seems, because faith can't always be expected to make sense in a world in which doubt is the order of the day, right? How can someone thank God that the victory is already won when we keep struggling with our temptations and our failures and addictions, or getting all stressed and strung out over all the troubles over finances or health or jobs or relationships? But this is precisely what we're called to do. This is why I get so angry sometimes at people who trivialize faith and say, well, only faith? You need faith and works. My goodness, let's look at faith, and it'll take us all our lifetime. The very contradiction is what makes simple faith a wrestle, a fight, my friend, to those who exercise it in such circumstances. And the idea of a faith wrestle with God seems silly to those who don't understand this. We exult in our tribulations, Paul says, knowing that tribulation brings perseverance, character, and hope. Now, in our past, we pleaded with God to set us free from this problem and this and that addiction. We almost agonized in prayer and fasting, didn't we, and determined our level of freedom by how well we were doing during a day or over a week or a month. It never dawned on us in all this praying that there was almost no faith in Christ's work on the cross for us, don't you think? But all these mounds of anxiety faith, in ourselves, you know. It's anxiety, quote, faith in quotes, in ourselves. And this kind of praying only led us back into our sins, didn't it? In fact, we were religious neurotics engaged in anxiety prayer. But now you see things are different. A temptation comes along, a pretty woman, a desire to drink, the urge to get high, or to just junk on food endlessly. And we praise, and we thank. Father, thank you for allowing this temptation. Lord, I fear to say this, because it's an opportunity to build my faith that the victory is already won in Christ. So I'm praising you, Father, that the victory is already won in Christ for me. In faith, Father, I thank you that Jesus took away all the powers behind this temptation. I praise you that I'm not abandoned by you because I feel these things. Now that's, you see, the power of wrath, you remember, which hands us over, abandons us to sin, and which Jesus took for us. He was abandoned in our place, remember. And I thank you, Father, that I am not under the power of these feelings, even though I feel them. That's the power of sin, you see, that comes from the law. That's freedom from sin in Romans chapter 6. Not the temptation, but the powers, the condemnation behind sin, the threat of judgment behind sin. That's taken away. So we say to our God, so these things, Father, cannot cut me off from you. They cannot frighten me into feeling abandoned, Lord. And so, Father, I will not despair. I will not accept hopelessness. And that's the power of death, you know, that brings despair and hopelessness. And this Jesus took away by his resurrection for us. So I will not accept hopelessness, Father, because I'm alive in you no matter what I feel. Now, at first blush, this gratitude in the midst of temptation, my friend, appears to give us the freedom to sin without having to feel bothered by it. But that impression, let me assure you, comes to us only when we are seeing the issue from outside of faith's embrace, not inside of it. Once we embrace faith, and faith embraces us, when we actually thank God in the midst of the desire to fulfill our lusts, we become aware of not being alone in the conflict. Do you get that? We're not alone. We're talking with God in conversation. Fear and animosity have gone. God is our friend. And this knowing of him within our souls also becomes a knowing of ourselves. It's not simply that we are enjoying God more, it's that we're also enjoying who we are in God's presence. And that makes the struggle more manageable. Then in this faith that thanks state of mind, a state of mind, remember, not produced by circumstances or moods, but words of truth released from our hearts and floating on our breath, we discover that the urgent or demanding powers of desire lose their punch. The fantasies of our mind that focus on pornography or drink or drugs or the next food binge, they fade a little. Because we're not isolated, you see, we're not alone, we're in the presence of God, there's no condemnation, he hasn't abandoned us, he's present with us. And the surprise is that sin's power didn't lose its punch because we knocked it out, and we've often tried and failed to do that, haven't we? Rather, we turned our souls in an entirely other direction. We turned our attention to our loving God, who calls forth our gratitude in that response we discovered about ourselves in Christ. Then the meaning of that verse, you remember that verse in Nehemiah 8 verse 10, tucked away so neatly in the Old Testament, came to us afresh. Joy in the Lord is your strength. Wow. We're embarrassed. We're humbled. We've heard this message time and time again and ignored it. It seemed too simple in the midst of the glaring and stunning complexity of our sins, you see. It seemed too naive in a culture that has taught us to believe that anything worth knowing must surely be very complicated learning. But faith, you see, is of the heart, not of the mind. And we begin to see that we ignored the praising heart in the past, not because it was too simple, but because it was too revealing. Revealing in that its absence speaks of a closed and resentful heart, a heart where doubt maintains the delusion of the neglectfulness and dangerousness of God, who, as doubt sees it, takes things away from us that are precious to us, and leaves us with things that we dutifully receive, but that give no satisfaction to the soul. All that's beginning to dissipate, you see, when we really exercise faith. Now we are in a different place in our lives, where what we thought was precious to us has splintered to pieces in the hurricanes of our addiction. And what we are left with are the precious things previously hidden from our eyes, my friend, but now revealed through a heart of praise. I say to you, in a new humility, once we learn the meaning of praise, we repent of our doubt of the only one who can be believed. And when we start praising him, according to Psalm 22, verse 3, we enthrone him upon our praises. Friend, I confess to getting a little nervous. I'm being truthful because I haven't heard from many people. I have hardly heard from anyone in the last couple of weeks in regard to my radio broadcast. Now, when that happens, I do begin to struggle. And I think, is anyone listening? Is anyone getting the message that I'm giving? I think maybe I may say to you that some of you don't realize that you hear from me a lot because you hear me every day, perhaps, or you listen to me on the web, or you get my CD, but I don't always hear from you. You know, a friend of mine just recently hadn't contacted for over 2 months, and I was getting a bit worried. I called him, and I didn't receive a reply, and I called again about a week later. I said, are you alive? Are you okay? And he called back finally, and he said, yeah, I'm fine, and we went out to dinner, and we talked about, I said, you know, we're friends, and you contact me, and I contact you, but sometimes you go silent for a couple of months. He said, really? And he doesn't realize that he did it. And he said over dinner, I'm just beginning to realize why that happens. He said, I listen to you regularly on the radio or on the CD of the month, and I have this feeling that I'm with you contacting or hearing you and relating to you all the time, but I never thought that you don't hear me that often. Yeah, that's right, my friend. I'm saying this in regard, of course, to donations and to help. I'm not just looking for donations, of course. I do like to hear from you. I like to hear your letters. I like to see what this program is doing for your heart and soul. But I do need your help. And I ask you, if you haven't donated for a while, or if you would like to consider donating, then please send your donation to FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. And that's the way you keep the broadcast on the air. Thank you so much, my friends. I'll see you next time. Cheerio and God bless.